Thank you for tuning in to the Head Game Podcast, powered by Mindful Athlete Training, where you grab an inside look into the heads and minds of the high performer. Learn what they do and how they think to help you take control of your own head game.
Welcome back to another episode of the Head Game. And we're going to continue our series of Uncut. I believe this is Uncut number 6. Lee, you and I were talking back and forth, and you were kind of being reserved and holding back something that you were enthusiastic or a question.
I was showing discipline.
Yes. And so we were, you know, talking back and forth, but you have some type of prompt for me. You know, we've been doing the past two times where one of us has an idea or a thought that we wanted to share with the other, but they don't really know what's coming. So I'm excited to hear what you have for me, and excited to have our conversation about kind of our thoughts from our expertise and our experience to share with our audience.
So one of the things that I find interesting, the more that we have these conversations, is what topics of discussion that we know can very easily grab our attention when it comes to how people perform in the moment. It's that window, right? It's a window by which we have to deliver. And it's relevant to athletics, but it's also relevant to life. It's the, you know, when you get that moment, you don't let it slip, right? It's, and I'm dating myself, it's from the original Wall Street, you know, when Charlie Sheen is in the waiting room to see, you know, the boss of all bosses, Gordon Gekko, the villain of all villains. And he looks in the mirror and he says, you know, like, this is it. Like, this is my opportunity. And Gordon Gekko refers to him as like, if you look up the word persistence in the dictionary, like his photo would be underneath because he called him 30, 40 days in a row until he finally got a response. And again, there's this window. But you think about delivering in athletics. It seems to me like there's this concept where if you're preparing yourself, that aside from the physical skills in which you have to execute, that the window of opportunity isn't open very long. And what I mean by that is looking at different types of competition, you know, in the midst of sports like football, baseball, even basketball to a degree, you hear about the 2-minute drill and that concept in football. You hear about the rally in baseball. You hear about the run in basketball. And I'm sure, you know, the more that we continue to talk, we can come up with more examples. But this is more of a universal concept. And what I want to hear your thoughts about, Hunter, is when I say window of opportunity, where does your head and heart go as it relates to what we are trying to work with through our own clientele of that readiness to perform and then delivering when it matters most?
Yeah, that's an interesting prompt, a window of opportunity. You know, I have the fortune of working with a lot of different athletes. You know, most of my athletes are ranging from, you know, 12 to 26. You know, we've had 67-year-olds trying to improve their pickleball game as well. And as that continues to rise in sport, we've worked with, you know, Air Force pilots and a lot of different performers, healthcare surgeons, et cetera. But I think from an athlete standpoint, you know, especially when I'm working with younger athletes, there's an uncertainty with what that window of opportunity looks like from a career standpoint. You know, you might have an athlete who ends up and fortunate enough to make it to the professional level. You know, that person's window of opportunity extends. If they only make it to college, their window of opportunity is now a little bit shorter. If they only are a varsity athlete, their window of opportunity is a little bit shorter. And if they never make the varsity team in the first place, right, then their window of opportunity stops probably around travel. So window of opportunity becomes short, but you also have sports that change in variation. A golfer can play into their 50s, where a football player, maybe other than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position, right? Typically, especially if you're like you're a running back or getting hit a lot, you're probably like mid-30s. Basketball player, it's a little extended. So the windows are different for everybody. But when it comes time to performance, and I think about window of opportunity for performance, I think window of opportunity is really captured through preparation. a window of opportunity is a moment in time. It's a particular instance where you might have to perform. It is the final free throw or the last out or the final hole. It's the playoff. Whatever it might be that you have a window of opportunity, you have scouts, right? Or recruiters or coaches in front of you. So window of opportunity, it may not be a single moment, but each moment is selective and really based upon or built upon your preparation. So I think in order to capture a moment of opportunity, you really need to have a solid foundation of preparation to maximize on that. You know, the regular terminology of luck is when opportunity meets preparation, you know, and I think the window of opportunity is you're fortunate enough to have it in the first place. And it's, have you prepared yourself well enough to capture it?
Yeah. I'm thinking about the collision, right? Of those two things, the intersection, you know, of preparation and opportunity. And you'll hear different coaches try to, you know, emphasize that in creating your own luck. But I also think about, now again, let's go window of opportunity. You hear the expression sometimes, Hunter, the window is closing, or they missed their window. Right. And we can think about teams, we can think about individuals, we can think about all the way down to performances. And yes, to your point, if you're not continuing to the next level, then by default, your window is smaller. But I'm talking more about when you, whatever level you are presently competing in, and this can transcend outside of sports for a moment into, you know, business opportunities, the window of opportunity in which you might be, if you have an entrepreneurial idea and you feel that you're first to market, if you are really trying to do things differently and break away from the industry that continues to refabricate the same product with a slightly different slant, but you want to be that trendsetter or that disruptor, there's a window of opportunity. Some may suggest there's a window of opportunity if you're looking for investment based on your readiness and the receptivity that others might have predicated on that readiness. And why I'm talking more outside of the individual athletic performance, which is what grabs our attention the most, especially when we sit and we watch. I think there's something, and I want to explore this with you a little bit. I think there's something more, I don't really know what word I want to use to kind of grab it, but there's something more abstract about the window of opportunity, where I always say to myself, have things fallen into line the way in which they should?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's timing, right, is what you're talking about. And ultimately window, right? I think a window of opportunity is referring to that timing. Did I hit it at the right time? Did I miss it at the right time? Something I talk a lot about with my athletes also is like developmental window is like, as long as you're continuing to learn, you can always grow. You can always expand in that. But I think opportunities might be something that passes by, right? You don't always have an opportunity to get back that high school championship game, right? You don't always have the opportunity to get in front of somebody. You don't always have that opportunity to give that pitch that or that particular pitch. But I think you said like persistence is a critical characteristic when it comes to maximizing a window of opportunity, and that you can actually extend your window of opportunity potentially as a result of that persistence. I think to say like, did I miss it or could I have done something different? I think that's a really hard ask on ourselves because we can never do anything that we aren't doing. What I mean by that is, you know, we can only experience the choices or the non-choices that we make in our lives. And we have to try to maximize that experience. What I find is when athletes or high performers are dwelling on, I should have done something different, that's living a lot in that past or that regretful space. Instead, I find it's much more beneficial for those athletes and high performers or anyone in general, really, to focus on, well, how do I take that and utilize it for future opportunities as well, right? How am I learning from those windows missed potentially But if I'm consistently persistent in it, a new window will open. So I become more optimistic or opportunistic as a result of that. I end up being able to notice those windows more frequently as a result of learning from the windows that I may have felt like I have missed. And thus, you really haven't, you missed a window, but not all of them, right? You haven't missed your opportunity to continue to develop or to find a new investor or to still try to grab success in an alternative way. But it's hard really to capture a particular moment because that feels like in the moment, that's the most significant thing probably in your world.
I'm hearing you provide that explanation. I start to go into what exactly is within your control. You know, what are the controllables? When you talk about the notion, this concept of persistence that therefore can hopefully create more windows of opportunity, I think that timing, yes, to your earlier point, is a variable. But I also think it has to do with when we're putting our necks out there and we're taking certain risks, there is a certain synergy. There is a certain amount of reciprocation that I do think the world can give you back. It is more about putting yourself in a position when you are prepared, so when opportunities present itself, that yes, you are ready, but then it's almost as if, and this goes more to our mental fitness development, what is it about the mind and the body that needs to be in full unison, full synchronization at the right time to retrieve learned skill sets and then execute to make sure that that first level of success provides a sufficient reinforcement for us to, again, dip into the well, because we're never successful all the time. It's all about, are we getting enough reinforcement sufficiently so in each moment to then reinforce new behaviors the second time, the third time, to which then when you stack them up together, Hunter, that window of opportunity has now become larger.
Yeah, I know we've talked about like failures and unwillingness to try, right? You only fail when you stop trying. Aligning mind and body is a really interesting kind of aspect because it takes a lot of work. Your body, your physical body, right? It's not just something that is, maybe some people are a little bit more genetically inclined and are able to maximize it with a little bit less effort, but there still needs to be effort put in. And the mental is very much the same. And I think a lot of people just kind of rest on their laurels sometimes when it comes to either the physical or the mental. And they're not necessarily putting in that alignment work. And when I mean alignment work, meaning to actually pay attention to what are those associative behaviors? What are those catalytic thoughts? What are the things that when I experience X, I respond with Y? And how can I choose to respond differently? Especially when it comes to the mental, it seems a lot of vague and uncertain. And so that vague and uncertain makes it feel less controllable or less tenable. But really, when we talk about window of opportunity and trying to align our mind and body, you know, we really have to be fully aware of ourselves. That's not just our strengths, but also like our faults as well. Like, what is my natural tendency in a particular issue? You know, if I'm playing a particular sport, I know when X happens, I'm typically doing Y, right? I typically respond in a certain way. But has that put me in a negative situation potentially, right? Maybe I become more impulsive. Maybe I become more hesitant. Maybe I just go like full in, headstrong, and that hasn't put me in the best situation, or it has. So what I'm talking about more so is the preparation is really a fully understanding yourself to actually put in the active work to develop that mind and body connection. You have to, just like you have to work out from a physical standpoint, eat good nutrition, you have to feed your brain some positive or more so nutrient-rich thoughts. Again, capability, but more so focusing on what you can control, concentration, paying attention to the right things at the right times. And then trying to maximize the timing window is by learning from experience, right? You can be mad about past experiences or things that are lost, but I think that value system that shifts is actually using it to learn, right? And as long as you're someone who is capable of learning, potential opportunities might be cyclical. It might not always appear in the same capacity that it once did. It might show itself differently, but it may come back. You know, something that we've been talking about, obviously, when it comes to like mental fitness, is we had a lot of conversations, you know, with organizations and groups and individuals and professional organizations and teams as well. And we were on the MLB network and all of this stuff. And this was 5 years ago where we were talking about mental fitness is going to be critical and a proactive approach and not if, but when. And then COVID happens and everybody's like, oh, mental something that we should be proactive about. We should be training, right? Mental fitness is now the hot buzzword, even for meditation. Meditation is now somehow turned into mental fitness, right? Which I will argue that it isn't. But I think it's more so talking too on sometimes that window will come back to you. And now organizations that we talked to 5 years ago are coming back to us and saying, oh, like now we wanted these services, right? So sometimes it's people who can see the trend beforehand, right? There's a lot of people who can see a trend beforehand. Some people create the trend, and then others who are kind of lagging behind who finally recognize that. So I would try to challenge yourself to be that person who can see the trend before it's occurring. That's by noticing, by listening, by keeping your eyes and ears open, not just following.
You know, I'm listening, and great stretch right there. That was a nice little piece on your part there. I like the way that so often what we're trying to educate with our consumers, with our listeners, even with our clientele, is that to our very point of conversation today, window of opportunity can present itself, and sometimes it's small. But if you don't have a level of awareness, and this is regardless of if you are the athlete, if you are the coach, if you are the consultant, if you are the client, if you are the business owner, if you don't have a level of awareness, that third eye that has been trained, that has been cultivated, that has been well prepared to seek out and look for the small windows and say, aha, there it is. Because that is what really will assist the second leg through our own mental fitness approaches, is to better accept that while your mental script might dictate that your approach to something has always been the same way through that cultivation, through that preparation, through that resiliency training to a degree, that you accept a mental script needs to be shifted, right? So now it's an attentional shift from something that we might feel is the most common or the most typical to something that's a little bit more learned, to something that's become a little bit more habitual, which leads us to the third leg of acting differently. And that's jumping through the window of opportunity.
People are so afraid to make mistakes, especially when they see that window, when they finally realize that window of opportunity is there.
I think it scares the hell out of them.
Yeah, they shrink up or they try to go to exactly what they know how to do or what they feel like is in their particular control. And in reality, there's a lot of variables that are always outside of control in any given situation. It is the people who are willing to not take huge risks, but to extend themselves, to challenge themselves in those windows of opportunity that I will say at first isn't always meaning that they are successful. But I think the people who are willing to do that more often will find success more often in windows of opportunity. That doesn't mean that each time they're successful, but I think the people who are who don't just try to control everything and try to shrink down and hesitate in those moments, just trying to be in that safe space when that window of opportunity, because they don't want to lose it. It's the people who are willing to say, I can trust myself. I know I'm capable. I'm going to try to be the best version of myself. And if I fail, that's because I'm trying to push that limit. And I think so often people miss that opportunity or miss that window because they try to play it safe.
I love risk-taking as one of the key elements that better assists with the window of opportunity. Because to your point, I think a level of preparation that when you know is more than most, that can give you inner confidence, yes, but it also over time can promote a degree of complacency where you say to yourself, my prep is enough. When you think about risk-taking, when you think about something as simple as the small ball concept in baseball, When you're down by a run, you need a base runner. Mm-hmm. You need that first batter to either have discipline to get a ball, to get on base via a walk or execute with a hit. Now that you have someone on first, you need to take a risk to steal a base to put that person in a better opportunity, i.e. scoring position. It is a risk that you are taking because you can get thrown out. But if you do it successfully, now you've opened that window of opportunity just a little wider. And the third piece that you need is you need someone to execute at the right time because the window of opportunity is open. Again, risk-taking, putting yourself in a particular situation through the mental prep and rehearsal of what you know is required for execution, but also seeing that the window is not going to be open forever. Mm-hmm. Therefore, let's take some more appropriate risks based on what we are capable of to put ourselves in the best case scenario for achievement.
Yeah. And risks, knowing what we're capable of. I think to some degree, I agree with that. And some degree, I think there's a piece of us too, that we don't know what we're fully capable of. We might perceive something as a risk taking, but it's fully within our ability or our skill set. But because it's scary, or we haven't really tried to execute that move too often or moment too often or knowledge base, right? Then we don't actually execute it. We don't behave in that way. We don't respond or act in accordance with that. But that doesn't mean it's outside of your capability as well. And so that's something to think about as well, is to obviously preparation is critical, but when you're taking risks, it's also believing that yourself that you can achieve while taking risks. Like, you might not know that you're capable until you take that risk in the first place. So you might create all of this buzz in your own head of don't do that, right? Or that's going to put you in a bad situation. And that potentially devalues or diminishes what you're actually capable of. So most of the time, people underestimate what they're actually capable of doing. And I think it's important for you to recognize your confidence and your ability to try.
I agree with you, but I think that there's more to the story. I think that most people would hesitate in situations like that, in large part in the face of huge amounts of data that support more conservative play. So when you think about this notion and this concept of analytics and the role that it plays in decision-making, managerial decisions, coaching decisions, whether or not to go for it on fourth down, how early do you pull your pitcher, right? We see it more and more. So there's this influx of information, which, to your point, I do agree, people are not fully in touch with their mental capacity that they can retrieve upon to extend performance in key moments. Thus, we don't really know what we're capable of. But because we're surrounded by so much intel and an influx of so much data, now we start hearing about the more conservative approach. The approaches that can get the job done safely. And I think that that leads to us being more conservative, thus diminishing the risk taking.
Yeah. Well, I think about, like, in football, how, like, some of the most successful coaches over the past few years, like Andy Reid, Nick Sirianni, right, has been doing this as well. It's like they've been going on fourth down more often. And there's a reason why their teams are more successful in games. That's not the only analytics, but they're taking a risk, but they also know the capabilities of their team. So they understand the capabilities of their team. They're willing to take a risk, even though it's a part of it. You know, it's always like, oh, trust your defense. Yeah, it's definitely trusting your defense, but you also need to trust your offense, right, as well. You need to trust your whole team in that moment to try to execute and perform, to make those things happen. And I think those risks, although don't always pay off, I think if you're willing to be persistent, continue to try, trust in your team's ability or your individual ability, right, if you're ever taking a risk as well, you know, you'll find, as we mentioned, maybe that window of opportunity, you might miss some, but overall, you might gain a lot more.
One of the greatest examples of that in recent Philadelphia sports history is when the Eagles were playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And we've all come to know it. We've all come to love it. The Philly special. Because when you play the New England Patriots in the dominant Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era, field goals don't bring you victories. Mm-hmm. And we knew that. And we can all go back and we can watch the tape of making that decision. Hey, it's fourth down. The Eagles are going to go for it. And not only do we go for it, but we do something bold. We do something that hasn't been done before until that point in the capacity on the largest stage possible against arguably the greatest quarterback and greatest coach tandem in the history of the league. Mm-hmm. It's a gamble. Thus, the window of opportunity from a distance might be very, very small. But it's the individuals up close and personal that have the courage, that have the fortitude to say, no, 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 no. Not only is this an opportunity, we need to go after it aggressively and not be denied. Therefore, those things that happen after the successful execution of stepping through that window looks like confidence, looks like phenomenal coaching, looks like the game plan of the century. But it really comes down to, am I going to seize this moment?
And it's so interesting. I love the word courage within that. And I also think about how from afar, you know, we can be these, you know, the armchair experts, but we can almost to judge it. That was the right call or that was the wrong call based on an outcome. If Russell Wilson completes that pass and they score that touchdown, is anyone talking about they should have ran at beast mode? It's maybe, you know, if for some reason Nick Foles drops that ball, are we talking about the Philly, you know, the Philly special? Like it comes so much down to the outcome, but I think it's also something to say about the courage to take the risk, the courage to challenge yourself. And I think if you can stand on that and you're consistent with it, you'll probably fail or you'll probably have some challenging moments where you miss some windows, but you'll probably capture some really great ones as well along the way.
I think the advice that I would give someone, because that statement, Hunter, is it's powerful. But again, I think we live in a world in more days than not that we prefer certainty, that we prefer comfort. And I think what needs to really be, it's almost as if there's a VIP lounge of discomfort. And the only way that you really want to get to that next level, to far outweigh the value of courageous risk-taking in the face of positive versus negative outcome, is that the only way you get access to the VIP tent is to walk through, you know, the pathway of discomfort. And I think that that's a risk, a gamble that most steer wide and clear away from. But I think it's the is it just the high performers that get access to that discomfort path, knowing that the VIP tent can lead to something much greater? Is it because they're putting themselves in those scenarios more often?
I think there's a confidence level that when I walk through that, I'm going to make it through to the other side. Right. So I think that's the confidence aspect of it, or at least the trust in it. That doesn't mean it always works out, but I think the courage is not in the face or the absence of fear, right? But in the face of it. And so it's, I'm again going back to the persistency of it, the willingness to try, the ability to have courage to face the fear. I think that brings confidence and trust in yourself that I'll make it out into the other side. Because if you don't, that's when you do shrink down. That's when you do hesitate. That's when you play it safer in those windows of opportunity because you're just so afraid that it's not going to work out. And you tend to minimize and miss the window.
I think windows of opportunity are everywhere. And it's kind of like the, you know, red car on the way to work. Once you once you bring yourself into more heightened attention, that those opportunities to find those windows, they become more readily available. So what I would encourage our listeners is keep your head up, keep it on a swivel. If there's a tad bit of discomfort, see that as a welcoming aura versus a deterring siren that you want to avoid, lean into it a bit, because this window of opportunity, whether it's in athletics, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in a work opportunity, they are everywhere. And the windows of opportunity, I think when we see them more clearly, we start to have a better understanding of how, when we put ourselves in the right position, they become more available to us, which increases the likelihood that when we walk through, we have degrees of success, which reinforce this notion, they're everywhere.